Microsoft posted their fiscal 21 Q4 earnings last night, July 27th, 2021. And once again, big surprise, they effectively crushed it. So total revenue for the quarter was a little over $46 billion, representing 21% growth. Now, the analysts coming into this expected the revenue to be about 44. So they were about $2 billion above where the analyst community thought they were going to be. From a total annual revenue perspective, they had about $168 billion, up 18%. And that also led to roughly $60 billion in profit. Obviously, as we focus here at Upper Edge for our customers, our enterprise customers, it really comes down to the commercial cloud. And so commercial cloud revenue came in at $19.5 billion, up 36%. And they had $69 billion on an annual basis. Now let's dig into the different units here, different segments, the different business units, if you will. First being productivity and business processes. This is a big one, certainly, for our customers. Revenue for the quarter was $14.7 billion, up 25%. And they beat their own guided number. They guided to a range of about $13.8 to $14 billion. So they beat what they put out there they were going to achieve, which is obviously pretty telling. It speaks to a lot of deals getting pulled in bigger than they had thought. So let's dig into the pieces of productivity and business processes. Office, commercial products, and cloud services up 20%. Think of that as Office 365. So Office 365 commercial revenue was up 25%, and that was driven by two primary pieces. Number one, seat growth. So the number of users up 17%, and then the revenue per user growth, right? And they talked a lot about the reason why those per user, those seat revenue numbers are going up, besides of the obvious ones where they hit customers with annual increases, which many of you probably felt. It's also about moving customers to the more robust solutions, most specifically E5. And they mentioned that E5 momentum was strong in the quarter. But it's also interesting, they put out a little nugget that said that only 8%, so less than 10%, 8% of the Office 365 commercial install base is currently on E5. So clearly, there's a huge available market, a huge opportunity that as many customers we're working with and customers I'm sure will be experiencing moving forward, that's going to continue to be the push. How can they get you to E5? Whether that's Office 365 E5 or the bundle Microsoft 365 E5, how can they sell the voice and the security components that come with that to get you to adopt? It will be and has been their focus. But only 8% of that Office 365 commercial base has actually done it. That's a gap they have to close. Now let's talk about some other pieces. LinkedIn. LinkedIn revenue up 46%. And they've surpassed the $10 billion annual revenue mark just in LinkedIn. So it's a $10 billion business by itself. And it's interesting because Satya made a point to point out that since the acquisition 5 years ago, revenue tied to LinkedIn has actually tripled or nearly tripled. Dynamics 365, revenue up 49%. It accelerated for the third consecutive quarter. And they talk about the momentum in Power Apps and Power Automate that's also driving that. And we'll get to the overarching why commercial cloud, the Microsoft cloud, is accelerating the way in the minute. But clearly, as they win business, as they put up D365 revenue growth numbers almost touching 50% as they take market share from the SAPs and the Oracles of the world and the Salesforce as well. This is important to keep an eye on and how they're going to continue to do that, which is not just about the overarching cloud, which again, I'll get to in a minute, but it's also the integration points with Teams and LinkedIn that's driving, it's driving the solution, quote unquote, sales pitch, the ability to put that, which the SAPs, the Oracles, as well as the Salesforce cannot do. They cannot do that. Now let's talk Intelligent Cloud. $17.4 billion for the quarter, up 30%. Now the one that everyone is interested in under this is Azure. Azure revenue was up 51%. 51%. Last quarter, it was 50% growth. A year ago, it was 47% growth. And it all comes down to the consumption-based services, the growth, the momentum that's coming with that. Now, more personal computer, $14.1 billion, up 9%. Now, that's Windows, devices, gaming, search. So clearly for our audience here, the thing that you're most probably focused on is the Windows commercial products and cloud services, up 20%. And it's driven by demand for the Microsoft bundle, Microsoft 365, the demand for that bundle, which includes Windows, Office 365, as well as EMS, the demand for that is going up. And that's obviously leading to penetration, adoption of Windows through that vessel. Now, overall, before I move into some of the overarching commentary, it's important to note, and I mentioned it a minute ago, they beat across all of these segments, productivity and business processes, intelligent cloud, personal computing, they beat every single one of the revenue numbers that they had provided for guidance. So they beat their own expectations, let alone the analyst community. And so clearly, it's working. So what is the it? What's working? It's really simple. And you can look at the way that Satya and Amy throughout the earnings call continue to find ways to bring up this point, which is Microsoft Cloud, the solutions that are within that, right? Dynamics, Office 365, Power Apps, Power Automate, all of the premium SKUs, the security, Teams, Azure, all of this, they're the only ones that have that stack, have that set of solutions that businesses need. Right, and Satya talks about hybrid work. Hybrid work is going to be the biggest change to the way we work, enterprises, small businesses, the way we work in a generation. And it's going to require a new operating model. And Satya said, we're the only cloud, Microsoft's the only cloud that supports everything an organization needs to make the shift. He went on to say what's going to happen is every business, whether it's retail or manufacturing or services, public sector, private sector, digital adoption is the way these businesses are going to be both resilient as well as actually transform the core business processes. And it's the strength of their stack, Microsoft's stack, that's going to allow them to be the provider for these businesses, the solution provider for these businesses. That's their pitch, right? That's their pitch in all enterprises that we work with, or by the way, SMBs as well. They are hearing this pitch. You will continue to hear this pitch. It's about one collective solution. It's why they spend so much time or have been of late on these industry solutions. Again, for retail, manufacturing, financial services, it's not about buying one piece. It's about you need all of it to accomplish what you're trying to do, complete your transformation. It's required to be resilient and to address the hybrid work model. Now, Amy Hood, right? CFO. She chimed in as well and she said, listen, customer reliance on the Microsoft cloud, again, all of these solutions that they sell, has drove sequential increases in usage across Teams, Power Platform, our advanced security offerings, allowing organizations to shift to hybrid work, actually letting them do it, in modernizing business processes. And there's a key word there, usage, right? As organizations, as businesses are relying on these solutions, adopting these air quote, solutions, what she's indicating is it's also usage goes up. Usage of multiple products that they sell, Power Platform, Teams. It's the usage that makes it sticky. It makes them have abilities to sell more to you. Now let's talk about Teams specifically. Now Teams, as Satya says, the new front end, right? They have 3,000 customers that now have 10,000 users or more. There's 124 that are using 100,000 plus users. But what Teams really comes down, they talk about the integration with D365, right? It's providing value to D365 that, again, these other vendors that they're competing with can't provide. But they also talk about, it's not just about Dynamics. It's not a platform just for Dynamics. Satya made a point to mention that Salesforce and SAP and Adobe and ServiceNow are all building and spending money, time, and effort on integrations into Teams, right? So the more that those vendors are out doing that, because they realize all of these corporations, all of these businesses that they're selling their solutions to are using Teams, they're being smart about it. So they're building integrations and, quite honestly, pitching them for Microsoft. So when you think about where Microsoft's going as they've entered their fiscal 2022, and as you enterprises are thinking about perhaps your renewals that are coming up at the end of the year or June, their year end next year, obviously, and you've already experienced, Microsoft's going to continue to pitch the whole stack, the value of a collective solution. So you need to ensure that you're aligning internally, understanding the different touch points that they have within your business and the impact on you trying to achieve or what you should achieve for the foundational relationship that you have with Microsoft, both from a access to the right people within Microsoft, but also the commercial components, right? Which is obviously a key focus that myself, my team, and Upper Edge has. Like, The more you give, the more you adopt, the more you use, your leverage diminishes. The good news is there's still ways to continue to use what's still out there for them that they want. There's still opportunities to improve what you've already given them. But you have to do it right. It always comes back down to having the right plan in place, understanding what Microsoft wants, how they're doing it, and how they specifically are trying to achieve it with your organization, and then countering that effectively to get an end state that's optimal for you, because you have to do it right. And there are certainly ways to do it.